thought we'd give a little bit more of a global discussion this morning about some of the issues of Kedusha Shabbos, in particular as they relate to Kedusha Yom Tov, and some of the differences between the two, since we are, of course, learning the Sechah Shabbos for the last 2 years, and Yom Tov is about Leinu. But not only is Yom Tov arriving, but the bracha that we're going to recite in Mitzvah tomorrow night is the bracha of Amavdu ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, which highlights the fact that there are different types of Kedusha Zman. There's Kedusha Zman of Shabbos, and there's Kedusha Zman of Yom Tov. Whenever we speak about Kedusha, so Kedusha is not just some esoteric statement, but Kedusha addresses something in the very real, concrete world of Halacha. Kedusha always means limitations, always means certain things that one is not permitted to do. So when we speak about different types of Kedusha, what we're referring to the fact that there are some things that are permitted to be done under certain circumstances, and other things that are permitted to be done under other circumstances. Let's say, for example, when we speak about Kedushas Makom, so the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Maseches Kelim, there are Esa Kedushas. There are 10 different levels of Kedusha in the world. There's Rishalayim, there's Harabayas, there's Zohar, and Heichal, Zohar, etc. But the Mishnah doesn't just say there are 10 different Kedushas. The Mishnah then delineates that Kedushas Rishalayim is different from Kedushas Harabayas in the following, that certain people are not permitted to go here, who are permitted to go here. And Kedushas Heichal is different than Kedushas Azara. Certain people who are not permitted to go here are permitted to go here. So whenever we speak about Kedusha, and specifically about different gradations of Kedusha, so there are differences in Halacha between the different types of Kedusha. We have that when it comes to Kedushas Gavra as well. There's a Kedushas Yisrael, means a Jew is not permitted to do certain things that someone who doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael is permitted to do. There's Kedushas Kahuna, and there's Kedushas Kohen Gadol. So too, in the realm of Kedusha Zman, we can't just say it's a holy day, it's a special day. There are dargahs, there are degrees of Kedusha. There's Kedusha Chol HaMoed, there's Kedusha Yom Tov, Kedusha Shabbos, Kedusha Yom Kippurim. Different days have different degrees of Kedusha. So when it comes to, we cite Havdalah, so we highlight the fact, not just Malvin Kedush L'Chol, but we highlight the Malvin Kedush L'Kedush as well. How does these two Kedushas, Kedusha Shabbos, Kedusha Yom Tov express itself? What are the differences? So the Mishnah has the seemingly sweeping statement in the Mishnah, in the first paragraph of Masechet Megillah, called Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov Ela Melechas Echa Nefesh Bulvad, that there are no differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov except for Echol Nefesh. So the truth is that Chazal never really meant that statement the way it says. Chazal meant in terms of what you're permitted to do and prohibited to do, that's the only real difference, Echol Nefesh. But there are for sure differences between the two. For sure, there are different dimensions of Shabbos that do not apply to Yom Tov. So let's say, for example, just in terms of the onesh, in terms of the punishment that a person receives for doing a malacha. So even if a person violates a malacha derais in Yom Tov, he's only chay malchus. We're not minimizing malchus, but it's only malchus. Whereas Shabbos carries with it a much more severe, a much harsher punishment. It carries with it an onesh of, if it's done b'meizin, an onesh of skila, if it's done b'shegeg, well, the maize is skila and kares. If it's done bishogeg, then it carries with it a requirement to bring a korban chatos. So that's an obvious difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah wasn't talking about that. The Mishnah was talking about what you are permitted to, not permitted to do. The Mishnah wasn't talking about the ramifications if you went ahead and did it. Because there is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in terms of ramifications, in terms of the repercussions of what you did, there is also a corollary statement that we spoke about several times over the last 2 years, was called Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos. That if a person does something on Shabbos that carries with it multiple averas, we spoke about this many times, going back to the days of Zomer V'Tzorach Li'Eitzim, the Gemara says that if a person prunes his vineyard on Shabbos, and he does it for two reasons. He does because he wants to use the wood, and he does because he wants to improve the growing of the vine. So the Gemara says that's a double violation. He's chayef twice for that. He's chayef for the malach of kaitzer, for harvesting, removing the wood to make firewood. And he's also over the issue of zereya, because he's making the remaining vine grow better. So it's chayef twice. So the Gemara says, yeah, azom tzorach leitzim chayef shtayim. What is the significance of being chayef shtayim? If he does it b'mezid with Edom and Hasra, with warning and witnesses, we're not going to kill him twice. Kill him in the Tchias Amazin, come over here, and only kill him one time. So what does it mean, Chayef Shtayim? So the answer is that it's Chayef Koris twice. So my Nafkabit is Chayef Koris twice. So Nafkabit is Chayef Koris Chatas. If a person does a malach Shabbos b'shoigeg, so then he has to bring a korban chatos. So here the Gemara is telling us that you can bring multiple chatoses. So the Gemara says that's what's called chiluk malachas to Shabbos. Even though it was really one action, afal pichein, you could still be chayef multiple times per malacha that you did. However, the Gemara says that ein chiluk malachas liyamtif. When it comes for yamtif, then the concept of chiluk malachas doesn't exist. What would it have meant if it would have existed? It wouldn't have been an afkamina for chatas, because there's no chatas for yamtif. It would have meant an afkamina for malchus. And if a person does one action on yamtif, even though it carries with it multiple chiyuvim, so one only gets chayav once. Ein chiluk malachas liyamtif. So again, we have a few differences between Shabbos and yamtif. We're not saying that what's also what's mutter. We're just saying if you went ahead and did it, so then the ramifications of being mechal Shabbos are much more severe. There's another difference between if a person went ahead and was mechal Shabbos that wouldn't apply b'pashas to yamtif. That is, the Gemara tells us that if a person is mechal Shabbos before hesya, if he publicly desecrates Shabbos, he's considered to be a muma l'chol ha-Torah kula. So he's considered to be somebody who we assume violates all dinim in the Torah as well. There are different types of mumrim in halacha. There's what's called a muma l'chol ha-Torah kula, and there's called a muma davar echad. If a person is a muma davar echad, means they eat treif. They observe all the other mitzvot Torah, but they're not machpat on treifus. So that the din is that they're only treated like a mumer within that area of halacha, but they're not a mumer in other areas. Let's say, for example, if a person eats treif, but they observe shatnez, usually probably the other way around. A guy eats treif, but he observes shatnez. So he would not be accepted to be the mashkiach in a restaurant, because he's choshed al adover, because in the area of treifus, he doesn't observe area of treifus, so he doesn't have any nemonos, he doesn't have any credibility in the realm of treifus. But if he wants to be the shatnez checker, so then we would accept him, as long as he personally is mach, but not where shatnez, so then he's still considered to be a nemon vis-a-vis hilchos shatnez. So you have this in many areas. Let's say you have a person who's mach, but a kosher, they eat kosher, but they don't observe taras ha-mishpacha. Not because they're not married, but they're married and they don't observe Taras Mishpacha. So this woman who doesn't observe Taras Mishpacha, so she wants to be the mikvah lady. So she's not accepted. She's going to tell us that the women went down properly. She's going to tell us that the mikvah is working. She doesn't have any nemanos in that area because she doesn't observe that area of halacha. But on the other hand, if she wants to be tell us the food is kosher, so if she personally keeps kosher, so you can believe her that the food is kosher. So in all areas of halacha, we have a rule that when you're a mumor, you're kosher for that area that you personally are not observing. But the Gemara says, let's see if a guy has mumul chol ha-Torah kula. He violates everything, so then he has no shaykhus anything. So then the Gemara says, Masechas Chulin, what if he doesn't violate mamish everything, but he violates certain averus that lead us to believe that he has no credibility. There's no reason to assume that he would necessarily observe anything. So the Gemara singles out two averus. One is the aver of Avodah Zarah, and the other is the aver of Chilul Shabbos for Hesya. If he's an idol worshiper, let's say a guy says, I worship idols, but I also eat kosher. And now he applies for a job as a mashgiach. We look for his resume. It says he worships idols. So we say, we can't trust you as a mashgiach. The guy says, why not? But I eat kosher. So the Gemara says, but you worship idols. Once you're an Avid of a Nazara, so we have to assume that tomorrow you'll violate anything. You don't accept the basics, so you may violate anything. So you have no nemanos in any area of halacha, even those areas that, quote-unquote, you observe. And the Gemara says the same is true when it comes to Chilul Shabbos. But if a person is Mechal Shabbos, but for Hesya, it's a public desecrator of Shabbos, then we have to assume that it's Hutla Kol Torah Kula. He's a Mumul Kol Torah Kula. You have to assume that he may be violating any and everything, and he has no nemanos whatsoever once he's labeled as a Mechal Shabbos of Hesya. Not only does he not have nemanos, it's not just a question of believing him, but he's treated like a goy concerning many, many areas of halacha. Doesn't mean he's mamish a goy. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have kedushas Yisrael anymore. But he's treated like a goy. Nuchas shchita, nuchas stam yenim, nuchas erevin. Many areas of halacha, we treat him like a non-Jew. Once the person is so off the derech that he's either a mumah l'chal Shabbos for Hesya or he's a mumah l'avid of a dezar. How this plays out l'maisa, a person doesn't know. Is a shagik, tinuk shnishmat. That's really a whole different side topic. But fundamentally, there is a din that once a person is a mumah l'chal Shabbos, he becomes a mumah l'chal Torah kula.
So stam yenim. Yain Esef would apply to the whole concept of drinking wine with the person, only him.
No. If he touches wine, that's not mavushal, so it would be like a non-Jew touched the wine. So that would trigger.
It would be an Isur, like you have the Gezeira, not to have wine with a.
No, so you're allowed to drink wine together at the same table with
him. Just you can't touch it.
You can't touch the wine.
His Chol Shabbos But for Hesia has to be on a Daraisa level?
That's a further shaila. That's a Sofik and Rebbe Kiveger. Let's see, you have a guy, a real London. A guy, he's Mechal Shabbat, he only moves Mukta. He does it for Hesia, but he doesn't, he won't turn line. He won't do Melach Daraisa. So Rebbe Kiveger has a Sofik, is that considered to be a Mechal Shabbat for Hesia? So he points out that it's probably Mechalik Yisir Rishon, Mechalik between the Ramam and the Ran. What does that shaila depend upon? So it most probably depends on Lamdash Shaila, about what the nature of Yisir Rabbanan is. When you violate an Issa the Rabbanan of Shabbos, is that called an Issa Shabbos? We call an Issa Prati? It's considered to be like a localized Issa? Or do I say there's a general Issa called don't violate Dirim the Rabbanan? So the guy who eats Bishalachim, the guy who moves Muktz is violating the same Issa. It's not Shabbos, it's not Kashrus. It's a general Issa called not violating the Dirim the Rabbanan. So there's a long number of Kibbeh Shechit about that. Well, one would think that this would never be Lamaisa. Who's going to be a guy? It's Mechal Shabbos, but the Rabbanah is not the Raisa. Most people are not such Lamdanim. So I knew a fellow like that. There was a fellow who was a Nebuch went off the Derech over the years. Well, he guessed Lishitas, he only went off part of the Derech. So he was actually a very, very good boy in Yeshiva many years ago. And whatever it is, I don't know, whatever happened to him over the live course of life, that he's not quite a Shomer Torah business anymore. So somebody told me that... He still can't bring himself to violate Mamish Derech. He still won't drive a car on Shabbos. He was still, I don't know what his definition of Derech is. I don't know whether he'll turn on a kosher switch or not. That can't happen. But whatever is only a Derabana, Lefishi Tasa, assuming that he knows Masechah Shabbos, Tachin knew how to learn pretty well years ago. I don't know how much, it's been quite some time. So whatever for sure is a Derabana, that'll violate outright on Shabbos. So I said, that's what Kiveg was talking about him. It means a guy who comes to Mechal Shabbos, the Rabbanon, is he really considered to be Mechal Shabbos and not Nemach, Nemach, Shemirach. Anyway, back to the story. So what if a person violates Yontif before Hesia? A guy does Malachas and Yontif publicly, public desecration of Yontif, Shabbos he won't touch, but Yontif he violates. So would you call him a Mechal Shabbos, or call him Mechal Yontif for Hesia? Would that make him into a Mumal L'chol HaTarakula? So the Pasha said, the Varm is not. Because Chil Yontif is not on par with Chil Shabbos. Not only is it not on par with Chil Shabbos, but the particular reason that makes the person into a Mumal Chol Tarkula on Shabbos probably doesn't exist on Yontif. Rashi has a comment at the beginning of Maseches Chulin. Why is it that if a person is Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, he becomes like Dino Ka'akum? He becomes a Mumal Chol Tarkula. What is it about Chil Shabbos that makes him into such a serious Aveira? So the Yemen says it's not the skila shibo, it's not the fact that it's an issa skila. There are a lot of Yisurim that are Yisurei skila. There are a lot of terrible Averas out there. Certain are the Arayas carry with them Yisurei skila. There are many, many violations of skila out there. What is it about Chil Shabbos that makes you into someone who's just mufka from everything? You become a mumul chal tarakula. So Rashi writes in Masechet Chulin, the reason is not so much the chumras Avera, the severity of the Yisur, but it's the philosophy behind the Avera. Namely, why is it that the person who's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah becomes a Mumul Chol Tarakula? So Rashi writes, it's not the Aveira, it's the Kfira Shabo. It's the fact that through an act of Avodah Zarah, you're Kofar Bashem. So if you're Kofar Bashem, how could you accept this Torah? The corollary of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs is the fact that you accept Him. That's the first thing that says in the Dibros. According to many Rishonim, it's not even a Dibra, like it's Ram and the Ramban. It's not even a mitzvah in the Torah. It's just a statement of fact. The Rambam counts that as a mitzvah samuna. You have to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Other Rishonim write, it's not a mitzvah of amuna. It's just the prerequisite to Kol Tarkula. How can you talk about Shabbos and Kashrus and Kibbutz Avayim and Losirta if you don't accept the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists? So that's what Rashi writes in Maseches Chulin, that if a person is an Ovid of a Nezara, so that basically means that he's not accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that we accept a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So once you deny the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for Sheitzach you deny the existence of his mitzvahs. Once you deny his mitzvahs, so then you, by definition, become a Mumar L'chol HaTarakula. So Rashi writes, the same is true for an act of Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos of Hesia is not because of the Chumas Isser. It's a terrible Isser, but it's more than that, says Rashi. It's a declaration of Kfir Hashem. When you're Mechal Shabbos, so what you're basically saying is that you don't accept Maisa Brachos. You don't accept the beginning of Sefer Brachos, which means if you don't accept Sefer Brachos, then you can't accept Sefer Shmos. The whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is all, the whole Kabbalah Satorah is all predicated on the assumption that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Borei Olam. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leima means that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. The person who is Mechal Shabbos for Hesia is basically saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist in the sense that we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he has some other version of what he thinks is nature and power and other things, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo of Sefer Brachos in his mind doesn't exist. So Mamela, the Rebbeinu Shlomo of Shmos Vikra Vinman Devarim is irrelevant as well. So that's what Rashi explains. So that idea is only true when it comes to Chil Shabbos. A guy's Mechal Yontif. As well, Yontif, that means that he doesn't want to keep the holidays. That's like eating treif. That's like an Aveira. I'm not minimizing the Aveira, but doesn't have that element of kfir b'maisa brachos that Shabbos has to it. That's what the Aruch Lener has had a famous tshuva in his time. The Aruch Lener was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. He was a Rav in Germany in the early 1800s. So he wrote the Perish Aruch Lener on Shas, and he wrote his tshuva's Binyan Tzion. People think, oh, Binyan Tzion must have wrote hundreds of tshuvas all about Yerushalayim. The first tshuva was about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash was Zman Hazeh, so he named the entire Sefer Binyan Tzion. But the rest of the tshuvas were regular plain tshuvas. So he has became a very, very famous tshuva about what if you have an individual who's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, but we know for a fact that he's not a kofar by Sebrachos. We know for certain that this Rashi doesn't apply to him. So the Yerucha Ner writes in his tshuvas that he thinks such a person would not become a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia with all the chumras thereof. It's not the Issa Shabo that creates the Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. It's the Kfira Shabo. So if he's the exception to the rule, we know that he's not a Koifer. We know for a fact he's not a Koifer, but my Sebrachos, it's just Nebuch, he's doing Malach on Shabbos, so that he thinks that if he'll touch the wine, it won't treif the wine, if he'll shech the animal, it'll be kosher. All the ramifications of becoming a Mechal Shabbos, he won't apply to this person. How do we know he's not a Koifer, my Sebrachos? The Chonair writes, he makes Kiddush on Friday night. He has a Shabbos meal with his family. He goes to Shul Shabbos morning. He goes to Shul Shabbos morning. He davens Shabbos. Davens Musaf. Shachar is a Musaf. Comes to the Kiddush and Shul. And then he goes to work. So the Yerucha Lener writes, how can you say he's a Koyf of Maisa Bereshis? He's a Balaveira. Okay, he has a Yetzahara. He has to make a Parnas. Okay. So he has unjustified reasons why he's going to work. Nebuch, we feel bad for him. But in terms of calling, how can you call him a Koyf of Maisa Bereshis? If he makes Kiddush, gets up and says, Zechel Maisa Bereshis. He davens Shachar. He says, Zechel Maisa Bereshis. How can you call him a Koyf of Maisa Bereshis? So the Yerucha Lener thought that if you have such a type of Mechal Shabbos, he wouldn't be an SLA Diroka Akum. So this was a common phenomenon in Germany in the 1800s. This is a common phenomenon in America as well. In most shuls, people think that the people daven d'ashkar minyan, those are the frumah ones, those are the b'nei Torah who are getting up early to daven early, to learn the whole morning. So in America, when the Hashkar Minyanim started, it wasn't exactly like that. The Hashkar Minyanim started in America to make it possible for the Mechal Shabbos to daven. The Nevuch, the people who wanted to be at work by 9 o'clock in the morning, had a daven. So they couldn't daven 9 o'clock Minyan. So they made a 6:30, 7 o'clock Minyan Nevuch so the people could go to work. So it was a Rachmanis. What are you going to call this guy? Mechal Shabbos of Hesia. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go daven for 2 hours before he goes to work. So you're going to call him Mechal Shabbos. You can call him doing an Aveira, that's true, and we feel bad for him that he's such a predicament, never he has to go to work, but, I don't mean he has to, means whatever the reason is, he's pushing himself to go to work, but this call him Mechal Shabbos v'Hesed Dino Ka'akum, so based on this Aruch Lener, it's very hard to do so. So the same is true when it comes to Chil Yontif. So Chil Yontif is a terrible thing, but it's not a Mechal Shabbos v'Hesed, it's not a Koyfim v'Maisa Bereshis. So Chol Parim, when the Mishnah makes the statement that Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif, it doesn't mean it for everything. It means what's Asa, what's Mutter, these are the differences. What is the difference? Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif L'Eichon Nefesh Buvad. So the Gemara jumps in Meseches Megillah and says, is that true? That Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif L'Eichon Nefesh Buvad, that makes it sound like only Eichon Nefesh proper is Mutter and Yontif. But other kinds of things which are not Eichon Nefesh proper would be Asur. So one of those categories that the Gemara highlights is what's called Machshiri Eichon Nefesh. So Machshiri Eichon Nefesh means that I'm doing a malacha, and it's basically related to food, but I'm not doing the malacha to the food proper. I'm doing the malacha to something which is a much earlier stage in the food preparation. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say I want a shecht on Yontif. That's okay. Mikra, then you're allowed a shecht on Yontif. As man as that, we have a minute for a variety of reasons, not the shecht on Yontif. Maybe when we get to Malach of Sheikhin, if the Tzad, we'll talk about that. But Be'ikra Din, the Mishnah is talking about Shechting on Yontif. What if a person wants to sharpen his knife in order to Shech? The Din is that if your knife is not sharp, you can't Shech. So he wants to go in and sharpen his knife. So sharpening a knife is a Malacha. It's a Malacha Mach B'Patish. He just dropped his knife on the floor, now it's got a nick in it, it's got a pegima in it. So he has to go take his stone and start sharpening his knife, otherwise the knife is not usable. So that's a malacha deraisa macha bepatish. Is he permitted to do that or not? If he doesn't sharpen his knife, he won't be able to shecht. So the Gemara says, that's not echel nefesh. You're not eating the knife, you're eating the animal. That's called machshiri echel nefesh. You're doing something to enable you to be able to shecht this animal. That's called machshiri echel nefesh. So is that included in the hefter or not? So the Gemara is medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah. Ein bein Shabbos liyantik al echel nefesh, implying that machshiri echel nefesh would be aser. So the Gemara says, you're right, that this Mishnah follows the view of the Chachamim, who say that Machshiri Yechol Nefesh Ataka off limits, and their Asar actually been HaTorah. How did the Chachamim know that? So the Gemara explains that the Chachamim Da'ash in the Pasuk, Acha She'e Ochel Echol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye'asel Lochem. The Torah says you're allowed to do Echol Nefesh, but only that, Hu Levado Ye'asel Lochem. Hu Levado Huvela Machshirin. It means, Hu Levado, you're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry food, you're allowed to knead dough, you're allowed to do those kinds of things. But to sharpen knives, to be able to shecht, Hu Levado, that's not included in that. And therefore, it would be also Makom Patash Deraisa. And the Gemara says that this Mishnah is disagreeing with the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's true it says Hu Levado, which seems to exclude Machshirin, but it also says Yaseh Lochem. Yaseh Lochem is the Mimarbe, is including. Whatever you want to do, you can do on Yantav. So which one is it? Is it Hu Levado that only Echol Nefesh is Mutar? Or is it Yasa Lechem that even Machshir Echol Nefesh is Mutar? So Rabbi Yehuda says, what the Torah is describing for us is that there are differences within the category of Machshir Echol Nefesh. Some Machshir are Mutar and some are Asa. Which are which? The Gemara says it depends on the following. If it's Machshir that you could have done from before Yontif, namely you knew that your knife broke from before Yontif and you didn't bother fixing it, and now you want to come Yontif morning and sharpen it, that's Asa Mid HaTorah. Hu Levado, that you're not allowed to do. But if your knife broke on Yontif, so then what do you want for the guy? It's EF Shemi B'yad Yom. If it's EF Shemi B'yad Yom, then it's Mutter to do it. That's what Yasa Lechem is coming to include. So according to the Rabbanan, all Machshirin are Rasa Bin Torah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, certain Machshirin are Mutter, certain Machshirin are Rasa, depending on if you could have done it from before or not. How do we pass in Halach on this one? So normally, Yochef Rab Lacharab, normally you would follow the Chachamim. Here you have a stam mishnah like the Chachamim. So the Gemara Maseches Beitzah says that the later Amoraim pasken la halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. So that was the accepted view, even though it's a stam mishnah, and even though we should have followed the Rabbim. But once the later Amoraim machriya like Rabbi Yehuda, that's how we pasken la halacha. So la halacha we follow Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless the Gemara puts the brakes on this psak. The Gemara says that even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, halacha v'yed meirin kain. That if somebody comes and asks you the shayla, you're not supposed to tell them. If somebody wants to know, hey, I dropped my knife on Yom Tov morning, can I sharpen it? You're not supposed to say yes. Because if you tell people yes, the next thing you know is if the knife breaks on Erev Yom Tov, they're going to fix it also. It means the line of difference, the line of demarcation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is so small, it's such a room for confusion. Therefore, the Chachamim, therefore the Amoraim, strongly recommend that it's a halacha. You're not supposed to tell people that that's the din. So you didn't hear it from me. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch. If you figure it out on your own, then it's okay. But if somebody comes and asks you a shayla, you're not supposed to tell. That's what the Gemara tells the story, that one of the Amoraim dropped his knife in Yontif, so he had started to sharpen it. He knew the din, he followed Rabbi Yehuda. So he starts to sharpen his knife. So one of his Talmidim saw him sharpening the knife. So he says, oh, Rabbi, I see you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontif. So he said, no, I'm not sharpening the knife, I'm just rubbing off some dirt or something. He just said, I'm not really sharpening the knife. So the Gemara says, the reason why he didn't tell the Emes was because that would have been a violation of Halacha v'en Marin Kain. So he had no choice. Normally, midvashek etirchak, normally, you're not supposed to lie. But, Lays Breyer, what are you going to do? He had to say something. So he said something. So he pashkin around. He told the half-truth. Because otherwise, that would have been more of a violation. As a michshol, the Talmud would have thought that you're allowed to lechatchila do these things. So that would have potentially let the michsholim down the way. But for those who know the din, so the halacha is in fact that halacha v'yein meirin kain. That's because we pasken against this mishnah. So we have this grandiose mishnah. It says, ein bein Shabbos l'yontif, ela echa nefesh bavad. So we said, the Mishnah doesn't exactly mean what it says. There are a lot of differences. One is a Chiyav Malchus, one is a Chiyav Kares, one becomes B'chal Shabbos for Hesia, one is not. There are a lot of differences. Chiluk Malachas to Shabbos, Chiluk Malachas to Yontif. The Mishnah is only talking about within what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And then, even within that, so the Mishnah had the implication that Machshirin would be Asur, And we don't even follow that. So this grandiose Mishnah, there's a lot to this Mishnah. We just spent the whole shiur talking about what the Mishnah doesn't say. So maybe next time, I don't know, maybe by next Yom Tov, whenever we continue with Shabbos and Yom Tov, so we'll have to try to figure out, what did the Mishnah say exactly? So what are the differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Shabbos Echon Nefesh is also, Yom Tov Echon Nefesh is Mutar. What is Echon Nefesh? What's not Echon Nefesh? So as we've been learning along with Shabbos, we've been touching and highlighting a little bit along the way in terms of what some of those parameters of Echon Nefesh are all about. So if we met the Shem at the Shavuos, we'll go back to the regular Shiurim in terms of we're starting the next Sukkot, the Shem of Tzad, and then if we move on to Shaychet, and continue the Malachas for this year.